Welcome to the August 3rd Thursday chat. This month we're going to speak about passion at work, and specifically, how important is passion at work? For those of you who are listening and that don't know me, I am an executive coach and thinking partner to business people who think differently, who think outside the box, who question and challenge and innovate. I help them recognize the value and navigate some of the challenges in being the questioners and challengers that they are. So I am fascinated by this topic in part because of a LinkedIn talk that I saw around passion and why it's not valuable to have passion at work. And I will give you some resources at the end of the call. When I put this question out to my mailing list, I got a response from one of my colleagues, Bruce Linsky. Bruce is an entrepreneur, so he has led companies and organizations in the past. And his comment was that passion is highly desirable. If you have a passionate person helping out, that person is always on, quote unquote, both in and outside of work. It's that kind of on person who notices a relevant headline, picks up on a relevant cue in a conversation, or recognizes the importance of a possible contact. That person can also immediately identify passion in a prospective employee, partner, or investor. I would fertilize such passion in an employee by giving them stock options in a company, a slice of ownership to further fuel their passion. Not that passion can be bought, it can't. But if it's already there, there's no reason not to feed it. I have observed with my fledgling startup project that those folks who are diabetic, his project is around diabetes type 2, have extremely high passion and want to get involved. I've met a few professionals, trained and certified diabetes educators who work with diabetics, and those educators are all diabetics. They understand the minds of diabetic folks and are highly passionate about their work. So what Bruce is pointing to is, and by the way, his company is ePrevenir, which is helping to improve patient outcomes while reducing healthcare costs for type 2 diabetics. We're not focusing specifically on diabetics tonight, of course. We're speaking about passion. But I think what Bruce is pointing to is that when you bring passion into the work that you do, you are more committed, you're more focused, there's an energy that you bring, you're always seeking out new information, new thoughts, new ideas, new contacts, for that passion that you carry with you automatically. So the doing the work, quote unquote, of the job that you're in is not work for you. It's a calling. It's something that you would do whether you were sick in bed with a toothache or a cold, or whether you were having a great day and this is just the way you get to spend your time. So what I'm curious about for the rest of you here on this call is, where have you seen passion in your own work? And do you feel that it's overrated or a key ingredient? Now, before I open that question up for discussion, I just want to make an observation about this LinkedIn article, because I was surprised at how many people questioned the value of passion at work. And what I noticed as I was reading this article was it was written by a young person at the beginning of their career. The videos were of people who are at the beginning or early in their careers. And that, I think, pointed to an important distinction that I think is valuable to make at the beginning of this call. And that is, are we talking about passion based on widespread knowledge and experience of what's out there and therefore what you're best at? Or are we talking about the kind of person that knows from day one that they want to be a doctor? They want to solve world hunger. They want to work with people who are handicapped in some way. And I know from my experience, when I was in high school, when I was first going into college, I knew people who applied to West Point because they just knew that was something that they wanted to do with their life, or wanted to be a doctor, and they did the hard work and the many years of residency and no sleep and all that goes along with being a doctor because they were so passionate about it. For me, I never had that when I was that age. And I think it's unrealistic to expect young people whose minds and experiences and wisdom is still forming to have passion for their work. I think that's a big ask. I think it does happen for some people. I saw it in fellow students around me in high school, certainly, and in college. But to expect all of us to be able to say, I know what I want to do with the rest of my life, when we're possibly a fifth or a quarter of the way through it, I think that's a big ask. And I know for me, I had to explore, I had to expand my horizons, look into what I loved, what I didn't love, find things that I had never even knew existed, explore the things about myself that were different, that when I was younger, I tried to hide, because we all want to fit in. I think that's a very human thing. And I know for me, I wanted to fit in, I wanted to be like other people, but there were parts of my personality, aspects of my experience, ways that I looked at the world that didn't fit with other people around me. And sometimes I would find people I could speak with about that, but very often I didn't. And so I hid or tried to change or minimize large parts of myself because I thought that would allow me to fit in. And what I learned, of course, I think anyone who is on this call or who's listening to this call, who is a coach and or that works with people, will recognize that we are learning about what it is to be human all the time. There are things that we know now about everything from PTSD and trauma that we didn't know back in the 30s and 20s and 1800s, things about high sensitivity. There's been research done since the 80s that points to highly sensitive people being 20% of the population. I've spoken about this on other calls. There are things like giftedness. As we have had more and more resources, a higher standard of living, a better quality of life, we've been able to look into various aspects of what it is to be human and identify and categorize some of those things to help us understand, help us all understand the various kinds of personalities that make up, let's call it a tribe or a community or a group of people. And I know for me, when I first came across the information about high sensitivity, for instance, I had never heard about that. I had read in psychology, I had done courses in college. I didn't know anything about that. We didn't have coaching when I was young. We didn't even have marketing when I started my career. It was a quote-unquote new approach to how you work with customers that when I first started doing marketing, there was sales primarily, and marketing was seen as an add-on. Now marketing is a whole separate discipline in and of itself. So as we have changed and grown and become more sophisticated as a world population, there are more and different ways to use our creativity and our talents and our abilities. And in uncovering those different ways of using our talents and abilities and capabilities, there are more things to be passionate about. It seems to me that being able to bring passion into the work you do is a blessing, is an opportunity that may not necessarily hit when you're young. Some of us may never find it, but I think for many of us, it's over a period of a lifetime that we begin to understand what we're passionate about, what some of the opportunities there are ahead of us, and where we might put our talents and our abilities, whether it's in the full-time job that we have as working adults, whether it's later in our lives in retirement, or whether we're some of the lucky few for whom passion starts from childhood and continues for the rest of our life. So those are some of the thoughts I wanted to share with you folks. And I would love to hear your thoughts on what I've said and where passion has fit in the work you do, how important passion has been to the work that you do.
Well, this is Leslie, and I realized that I was surprised at the way you were coming at this, and I realized that I was approaching the subject very differently. I was looking at it not so much as a vocational choice as a personality and thinking style and so forth. And I was going a lot to the brain dominance kind of thing, and as women, the kind of emotional, expressive styles that many of us have were something that early in my career, it was important that you as a professional would tamp down your emotional enthusiasm. To be professional was to be more cerebral and cognitive in your approach to things, and to express your emotional feeling about something was a feminine characteristic that diminished your professional image. So having a passion and a mission in life early wasn't the way I was approaching it. But I do think that the passion for something, a curiosity and a willingness to express your enthusiasm for it, your intrigue with it, and so forth, is a powerful thing to have access to and to share with others, because I think it not only enlivens you, but it energizes others as well. I think people are really attracted to it. I think leaders who express passion get a lot of head nodding and a lot of people who want to follow them because it rubs off on others.
Yeah, there's a commitment, isn't there, and an energy and an enthusiasm that goes along with being passionate about something that you're involved in.
Yeah.
Well, I love what you said about passion for work allows you to be at work without feeling like it's at work. That's how I identify with that phrase, passion at work, is finding a calling. And I feel fortunate that I have found that in my coaching work. I find that my clients who have the hardest time deciding what they want are the ones who have trouble finding that passion in themselves for anything. And we talk about it a lot in terms of curiosity. I'm glad you brought that up, Leslie. Curiosity seems to be really connected to passion and enjoying what you do. So it seems essential to me and among my client base, the people who are enjoying what they're doing and moving forward in their careers and their personal lives as well, are people who have passion and curiosity.
Mm. And I'm curious, for both of you, where have you felt or not felt passion coming through in your own work?
I mean, it comes through for me when I'm connecting through the coaching relationship and building on what the client wants and needs. You know, I'm not sure how to answer when it's not coming through. I guess when I'm doing things that I just don't excel at and don't feel is making an impact, those things generate less passion in me. And that evolves over time. You know, I used to be passionate making documentary films, and I did that through the 80s and 90s in sub-Saharan Africa. In fact, it was a very specific passion. And then when my passion evolved, I evolved with it. I didn't keep making myself make documentaries in sub-Saharan Africa. I explored the new passion and pursued training so that I could make it happen. I don't think passion is one thing that is you have to find and then stick with it forever. I think its nature is to evolve if you're open to that.
I'm not really sure how to answer this, but a story comes to mind, and maybe it connects and maybe it doesn't. But I was living in Cleveland, and I'd been working as a management consultant, and we did a lot of team development programs and so forth. And I had a colleague who came out to helped me finalize a major project we were doing out there. And at the end of this team meeting with the executive team, I was quite pleased with where we ended up with this contract and couldn't wait to get out the door and hear what she had to say. And we walked out, and I was feeling pretty good about it, but before I could say anything to her, she said, "You know what, Leslie, do you realize you spend an inordinate amount of time contracting?" And I said, "Really?" "Say more." And she said, "Well, you were 99% of the way there before we even had this meeting, and we just spent an hour and a half refining the contract and so forth. And she said, you know, it was pretty much fine as it was, and we probably could have done without that, but your enthusiasm and engagement in this really kept it moving forward and making changes. But she said, I'm not sure that it was really that useful or whatever. She was someone that I had worked with for a long time, and I really respected and appreciated her input. But I also pushed back and said, no, I don't think that's true at all. And it wasn't until 10 years later when I first found coaching that I realized she was absolutely right. Her final comment was, I think you enjoy that end of it more than you do the work we do coming out of this process. And she was right. You know, helping, working as a coach one-on-one with people and helping them refine what it is they really want and why they want it and how it's going to serve them and so forth is really far more interesting, intriguing, and energizing for me than helping them get there afterwards, which is, of course, exactly what most of coaching is. So, but there wasn't coaching at the time she said that. So I guess maybe not having something to move into to make use of that feedback made me push back on it.
Anyway. So she was talking about you were essentially coaching it. I thought you said contracting.
Well, I was, but I was coaching them around what it was they really wanted to accomplish with this contract, you know, this work that was going to be done with each of the departments, and what would success look like, and, you know, so it was, those were the kinds of things I was probing to make sure we were headed in the right direction. We could do some good stuff, but it wasn't, if it wasn't moving them forward, what, you know, what good is it?
Mm-hmm. Leslie, I'm so glad you told that story because it helps me clarify what I said right before you spoke, when I talked about passion evolving.
Yeah.
It evolves not to something completely different as it may sound, because I mentioned documentary filmmaking as what I did before coaching, but in fact, there was a piece of the documentary filmmaking that I loved, and I was fortunate enough that I did notice how much I loved the interview process, the one-on-one interviewing process with the subjects in my documentaries, that was where my heart sang. And so that's what led me to discover coaching as a field that was developing at that time and get the training I needed. So that's a subtlety I would want to add, that people should expect passion to evolve. It may hone and refine. It may be just a piece of what they're doing now that they need to, in order to stay passionate, they need to focus more on a certain piece. So that's where I come down on the idea of passion evolving.
Nice. I love that you say that, Carlin, because I didn't understand what coaching was when I first started into it. I thought I was going to be doing consulting. And I actually didn't think I liked coaching. In fact, I had a lot of resistance to it. And one of the things I've seen in myself over the years was that very often when I had a very strong negative or dismissive response to something, that actually turned into something that was really powerful and compelling for me. And coaching was one of those things. So I went into coaching thinking, I'll just learn how to do this because then it just gives me an extra piece of credential for my business. But not really thinking it was something I was that excited about. And it wasn't until I was working with clients during a very difficult time for me personally, during the time my mom was dying, and I would find that where the rest of my life was feeling challenging and draining, when I worked with a client, I would come off the phone and I would just feel like, wow, we just did something really great. And that client got something really valuable and really powerful out of that call. I could hear it in the change of their energy. I could hear it in their voice. And that's when I realized, wow, I really like this coaching stuff. So I love what you're pointing to about it evolving over time and becoming something that we move into, not necessarily something that we have right from the get-go.
Yeah, especially if we stay open with curiosity.
Exactly.
We can keep discovering the clues to our passion. You know, who among us were lucky enough to have parents who asked, you know, what makes your heart sing? What excites you? You know, very few people, at least our age, were lucky enough to have that in their parents, but at least now coaching is out there and those questions are coming out there, and hopefully more and more young people are being raised to notice what excites you.
Well, and I think that's an important piece, to notice what excites them, because from listening to this article, and let me just give you the link for this, it's linkedin.com/do-you-have-love-what-successful-socko-trinh. And it's an article on, do you have to love what you do to be successful? If you can't get it, then just let me know and I will send you the link. But she talks about young people having passion for what they do. And I'm hearing that there's some pressure put on very young people to know what they don't know yet. And I think that's one of the things that I'm fascinated about in this conversation, is we may not actually know. Like, it sounds so romantic and so fabulous to go off and do documentaries in sub-Saharan Africa. What a fabulous job that was. And yet what I think I'm hearing is that for all the excitement and drama, just like for me it was very exciting to go off and do marketing and work European-wide in the early 90s when I was European marketing manager for a software company. That was fabulous and it was exciting. It was fun. But after a year or two of it, I thought, you know, there's something missing. And it actually grew to the point where I felt like there was a hole in my heart. And once I started to pay attention to that, so I love where you're pointing, Carlin. Once I started to pay attention to what my body was trying to tell me, what my emotions were trying to tell me, I realized that there was something else that I needed to be doing. And it pushed me to go looking for what that was. And it was when I went looking that I literally stumbled across the things that I'm passionate about. And I also agree with you that they evolve over time. So I will give you one other resource, which is Cal, C-A-L, Newport, did an interesting talk on passion that was a YouTube video. So if you want to Google Cal Newport on passion, you'll find it. I thought he made some very interesting points that challenged my thinking.
Yeah, part of the movement towards mindfulness, I think, is helpful because it helps people notice what's going on with them. A lot of mindfulness says, look, you know, notice how you're feeling. Mm. I think one of the reasons our culture has so many addictive behaviors is because people haven't been trained to, of all ages, aren't generally trained to notice how they're feeling and to think about what they need. Those two things, both how am I feeling and what do I need, neither of those things are noticed by most people. And so it's very easy to get addicted to things that make you feel better instead of noticing, oh, there's a hole in my heart. Maybe it has to do with my work. You know, maybe I can do something about that. Mm. And you had a sense of agency and you went about that, finding a way to heal that hole in your heart that was developing because you had a job that wasn't feeding you.
Lovely. Thank you for sharing those additional thoughts.
The only other thing that comes to mind for me is kind of the metaphor of being drawn towards something that you really care about versus, you know, it's the being drawn to the peak as opposed to pushing the boulder up the hill. And a lot of times I think we've mistaken value and reward and so forth for hard work as opposed to enjoying the process itself and have it be its own reward. And I think a lot of us were trained to work hard and do well and so forth, and it took a while to step away saying, but is this serving me? You know, do I have a hole in my heart? Even though I've been doing good stuff for people and I'm being recognized for what I've done, it's not serving me. The challenge can keep you alive for a while, but once you know you can do the doing, if it isn't something that is meaningful to you, you don't stay with it. But if you can connect to what you're really passionate about and keep it growing and growing you, that's really special because that recharges your batteries. You're not looking for outside acknowledgement or validation.
Well, and actually, you're bringing me right around to where we started with Bruce's comment. I was reading his comment and thinking about some of the things that were said in the LinkedIn article. One of the somewhat cynical comments that was made was, well, yeah, employers want to have people who are passionate because they'll work longer hours and do more for less. And that's in their best interest, and they can get more profits out of their employees if they're passionate. I don't think that's what Bruce was saying, but it can be tempting, I think, for employers to want passionate employees because they know that they'll get more out of them and maybe not have to compensate them as well. So for me anyways, it's important to be sure that if I'm going to be passionate about something and I'm going to put my energy towards that passion, that I know that I'm getting from that what I want and need to feel like it's not something that I have to do, it's something that I want to do. What you said about, am I pushing a boulder up the hill or am I able to go to those peaks? And it's not that it's a struggle all the time. It's that I get the satisfaction and the feeling of a job well done from doing this thing that I love. So I'm going to end the formal call here. And thank you all for participating and for listening in. And if either of you want to stay on and continue to chat, I'm more than happy to do that. Thanks for coming.